vivacious and energetic and everything else?
We got something else going on or what?
Okay. Brother Eric, come and get the lessons. We're in Matthew chapter 4 this morning. Matthew chapter 4. We're finishing up on the temptations of Christ as they're recorded in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. And we have looked at the first temptation, which was the temptation of provision. Remember, the devil said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Command these stones that they be made bread." That was after his 40 days of fasting. And so it was not an unreasonable temptation. And as we saw, it was not really a sinful temptation. Nothing wrong with him turning stones into bread to satisfy his hunger. And the second temptation was the temptation of provision. Now, the first one was provision. The second was protection. Taking him to the pinnacle of the temple and saying, "Jump down because Psalm says the angels will take care of thee." It's important to notice that the areas that the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ were not some kind of out there kind of thing. He tempted in the area of provision. He tempted him in the area of protection. These are areas where the devil tempts us also. Provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes when we don't have our needs met, the devil finds that as an open door to tempt us. So the Lord went through a temptation that in a generality, as well as in a specific, is a temptation we face. Had he faced temptations that were beyond us, it wouldn't have done us any good. But he endured temptations like we're going to endure, for provision, for protection. The one we get to this morning is the temptation of power. The temptation of power. It is one that is common to man. All kinds of people are tempted by the desire for position, for power. Whether it is those that will do anything to gain power, like Stalin or Hitler or Alexander the Great, some of these that have killed their enemies that opposed them. Or whether it's in the business world where dog eat dog and step on anybody you have to climb the corporate ladder and become the CEO, whatever it is, there's a temptation of power. And it's a very real temptation in our life. And so what the Lord did is he went through these same temptations that we go through for provision, for protection, for power, to show us that when we go through those temptations, we're not alone. The Bible says that he has suffered those temptations like that are common to man. And these are those temptations. He suffered them common to man. The other gods of this world that lived on the mountaintops and just gave counsel to other people and never went through the daily grinds of life. You know, Gandhi and Buddha and all these guys that were just wise soothsayers and speakers that didn't put themselves in harm's way, didn't put their life on the line for their followers, didn't face the devil, didn't face off with him for the temptation. They don't know what these temptations are like. And so we find this morning then, we find the temptation of power here in Matthew chapter 4 and beginning down in verse 8. And again, this is the third of the three temptations the devil threw at the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to find the same thing we found in the first two. And that is that there's the tactics of them and there's the triumph over them. We notice that in the first two temptations. There's the tactics of the temptation. The devil works basically the same way all the time. Now, he'll adapt things according to the situation. Here, as he's going to attempt to tempt the Lord the third time, he will simply and subtly change his tactics, but basically they are the same. It's amazing, isn't it just amazing, when you see another Christian and the devil takes them down every single time the same way. And you're saying there's no growth. There's no increase in spiritual maturity. Because the devil just flicks them off every time the same way. They're not accomplishing. They're not getting anywhere. The devil is very good at knowing the weaknesses of man. All the devil has to do is follow you around during your day, and he knows what temptations are effective on you. So we've got to be growing in grace. We've got to be every day getting closer and closer to God if we're going to make any progress in this life. We can never be satisfied with the status quo. We can never say, where I am right now spiritually in my life is good enough, it's sufficient, I'm going to stay right here. The minute you settle down and decide to stay right there, the devil says, I got you now. We've got to be desiring to get closer. Paul said, pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to be growing in grace every day. So we find the temptation of power in Matthew chapter 4. We'll make a couple references in our study this morning also to Luke chapter 4, where these temptations are also recorded. But notice, if you would, again, the first thing this morning, we find letter A, the tactics of the temptation. The tactics. How the devil is going to work. He's been defeated twice already. So what's he going to do? Tuck his tail between his legs, go hide in the corner, suck his thumb? Say, oh, I've been beat. I've been defeated. No, he just turns right around and comes back with another temptation. He just changes his tactics slightly and subtly, but forms another attack. All right, we saw him come through the front door this time. We stood against him, so he's going to try a side door. You catch it out of the side, peripheral vision, you see him coming, you block that one off, so now he's coming through the back door. He's not going to give up. There's never going to be a time in your life, as long as you're in this body of flesh, in this world, where you can say, I've defeated the devil, and he's never coming back again. You're going to see, when we get to the end of this study, that though the devil tempted him three times, and at the end he said, get thee hence, you're going to find out that wasn't the end of the temptation. It was the end of these temptations right here, but not the end of the devil's temptation in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It never ends. It never ends. Say, man, I should have got saved. When I got saved, I got a target put on my back and the devil's after me. Before that, he left me alone. Yeah, he did. And your flesh did most of the damage to you back then. But not getting saved wasn't going to do anything. Then the devil just had you in hand. Now at least God's got you in his, and no man can pluck you out. At least God's got you in his hand now, and the devil's going to shoot at you, but you've got some protection around you. So we see the tactics of the temptation. Number one, again, as we saw in the other temptations, the place. The place where the devil tempts. There are some places you need to stay away from. And you know where those places are. Some of those places for you might not be the same places for me. Some of them are universal. There's some places none of us belong. There's some places that I can't go because maybe something in my past that you don't have any problem with. But we all know where those places are that give us trouble. We need to stay away from those. Now, the wonderful thing about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the devil leads him, right? He was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil took him to a high pinnacle of the temple. The Lord allowed the devil to guide him and pull him around. He didn't have to do that. He did that to set the example of resisting temptation. But he could have any time, when the devil said, hey, I'm taking you up to that temple, the Lord could say, no, you're not. And so the Lord is still telling us, though he allowed the devil to tempt him so he could face it, he's telling us to watch that place of temptation. In the first temptation, it was in the wilderness. Remember that? That desolate place, that deserted place where the wild beasts were. And the devil tempted him in the wilderness. The second place was in the holy city, on the high pinnacle of the temple, whether in the wilderness or the holy place. Devil's got no respect for the sacred. And he'll tempt you in here as well as he'll tempt you out there. We talked about the parable of the sower, I think, in the Sunday morning message last Sunday. And how when the seed is being sown, the devil will come and pluck it out. He doesn't do that anymore more effectively than he does it in the church house. To get people distracted about other things. So that the seed of the Word of God can't get planted and firmly grounded. So the devil will tempt in the wilderness, he'll tempt in the holy place. Here we find him in verse number 4. The Bible says, verse number 8. Again, the devil taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain. That's the place. An exceeding high mountain. Now, the commentators, the Bible scholars have all tried to speculate what mountain that was over near Palestine or Israel or in that region, what high mountain it was. Can I propose to you, it might have been a spiritual mountain and not a physical mountain, though I don't know for sure. But as we're going to see in a minute, from this mountain, he sees all the kingdoms of the world. That's a pretty high mountain. And I don't know of any mountain that's high enough that the devil could take the Lord up on, a physical mountain, that he could be high enough to see all the kingdoms of all the world. So either it was supernatural in how the kingdoms were made known to the Lord, or it was supernatural in the mountain he was on. But something is going on here, because he can see all the kingdoms from the top of this mountain. And so he takes him to that place. He takes him to that exceeding high mountain. Notice letter A, the coming to the place. The coming to the place. The devil taketh him. The devil taketh him. You remember the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." The Bible calls the devil the god of this world. We're on his playing field. This is his stadium. We're on his turf. When he offers to the Lord in his prayer, when he says, "Bow down to me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." You know, again, people debate, did he have the power to do that? Well, he is the god of this world. He has control over things in this world. He's the prince and the power of the air. And so when he takes the Lord up there, this is what I like about the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have took him on the Lord's home turf. He could have said, "Hey, you want to fight me? Come up to heaven, let's go at it." He'd already been defeated there once before. The devil had. But see, now the Lord comes down to the devil's home turf and says, "I'll fight you down here. Just to prove that I am who I am, and just to prove that you can be defeated, I will come and fight you on your turf. So he allows the devil to take him to an exceeding high mountain. Notice letter B, the character of that place. Again, we talk about it. The devil taketh him to an exceeding high mountain. Can we go at this practically more than we do it at spiritually at this, or it's kind of spiritual? Into an exceeding high mountain, like he took him to the temple and to the pinnacle of the temple, and we saw that was 400 feet from that pinnacle down to the bottom of the ground, that he tempted the Lord to jump and said, "The angels will take care of thee." That very high place. Now he takes him to an exceeding high mountain. Are the high places that cause people to be unstable spiritually. It's the high places. One of the presidential candidates said, I believe my faith is a private matter. You know why? Because when you get up there in the stratosphere, when you get up there where everybody's looking at you, you get a little unstable spiritually. I can tell you that in the time that I was in the secular workforce for 13 years, working in that situation, a factory situation or that kind of situation, I met a lot of other fellows over those years that were Christians. Some that worked for the same company in different spots, and when we'd have these meetings or these seminars and we'd fly to go to different places, we would purposely room together. We wanted to stick together because we wanted to be away from the crowd and what everybody else usually did on the off time. And one of the sad things I noticed is that these guys that had the ambition to advance within the company, over a period of time, every one of them compromised their spiritual values to get to where they wanted to be within the corporation. Becoming the CEO of a company, becoming a political leader, most of the time involves some kind of spiritual compromise. Don't desire those high places. Don't set your goal to be in those places, because sometimes God's got you right where he wants you because you can be more effective spiritually. Sometimes somebody might get passed over for a promotion and say, "I don't know why God didn't give me that." Well, God knew you weren't ready for that. God knew that you couldn't handle the temptations of that. Or God knew you'd be better served right where you're at than in that other place. The devil took Jesus up to that exceeding high mountain, that place where temptation is at its greatest. And so we find the tactics of the temptation. The place, number one. Number two, the presentation. It's kind of like fishing, this temptation of the devil. He gets you to the pond. He throws the bait in. And then he wants to yank on that reel when he feels the nibble coming. That's what he does in his temptations. He tries to get you to the right place where he can catch that fish. Then he's going to throw the bait in there and see if he can get your attention. And then once you and I start going for that bait, he's going to yank that line and sink that hook and bring us in. And that's the tactics we see here with the Lord. He got him to the right place. Now he's going to put the bait out there. Here's what he says. He makes his presentation. It says, he showeth him all the kingdoms and the glory of them. Notice letter A, the magnitude of the presentation. The magnitude of the presentation. The Bible says again that he shows them all the kingdoms of the world. Now this, I know this is supernatural going on. Whether again this mountain is just a very high mountain over in the Middle East somewhere, or whether this is supernatural in the degree that they're actually way up in heaven somehow looking down upon all the kingdoms of the earth. I know that the presentation is a spiritual, supernatural presentation. Look, if you would, for just a moment, look over at Luke chapter 4. And in speaking this temptation, look at verse number 5. Luke writes about this same temptation. It says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 5, now the devil taketh him up unto a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world, notice, in a moment of time. In a moment of time. You can't look at all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So there's something supernatural going on in this temptation. The devil and the Lord, this is spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a spiritual battle going on that's in a realm you and I can't see. And if you know your Bible this morning, you know that that spiritual battle is still going on right now. The devil has not quit. He's not tucked his tail. He's not turned in his pitchfork. The devil is still battling with the forces of good and the forces of God and trying to destroy everything that's good down here. That spiritual battle is still going on. And that spiritual battle encompasses us every day that we walk in this earth. We need God's provision. We need his protection. We need his power, not the devil's. And the devil is trying to tempt him. The magnitude of that presentation. All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Just making it a flash and showing the Lord, you can have India. You can have Asia. You can have Europe. You can have Africa. You can have the islands. Just taking him as a quick National Geographic tour in a moment of time. Showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Look at all the benefits of this continent and that continent and the good things here and the good things there. You can have all those. The temptation is of such a magnitude that it's hard to resist and hard to turn down. Now you and I know, we know because we know the end of the story. The Lord got all those kingdoms or is going to get all those kingdoms because of Calvary, not because of the devil's temptation. Had he yielded to the devil's temptation, could the devil have given him all the kingdoms of the world? Many say, well, yes, because he's the God of this world. Many say, no, that's just the devil offering something he can't give anyways. And there's a lot of truth to that. Something that's not rightfully his, he's trying to use that as the bait for the temptation. But he offers here all the kingdoms of the world. Notice letter B, the manner. The manner of the presentation. The devil showeth him. The devil showeth him the manner of the presentation. The devil's main avenue, main tactic, is the eye. Is the eye. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Eve saw that the fruit was good. Before she tasted, and even in hearing what the devil said, yea, hath God said, it was when she saw that the fruit was good. Remember Achan that took the Babylonish garment, the accursed thing? The Bible says when Achan saw. That's where the problem is. We need to be careful because the devil's going to try to attack us through that. When Abraham and Lot were going to divide, and Abraham told Lot, he said, you choose where you go. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. He saw them. The devil works through the eyes. David, going out on the rooftop at a forbidden hour, saw a woman on a rooftop. The devil works through that temptation. He works through what our eyes behold in a moment. You know what advertisers know? Haven't we heard this for years? When you're sitting there watching television and watching a commercial and you think you understand everything, they keep telling us that there are subliminal thoughts going through there all the time that are planting seeds of desire for whatever the product is that's on the television. Can I tell you that that's the devil's tactic? He took the Lord up and in a moment of time, just blink, blink, click, click. Kind of like a computer, right? Just click on this and click on that. And in that much time, the temptation, the bait has been put into the water. How many times have we been on that computer and something pops up there that we didn't want to see? I hear people say that all the time. I'm on my email account. I'm on this. I'm on that. And something pops up. The devil's good at just putting those things out there. Because once you've seen it, it's logged. Once it gets in there, it's filed. You can try to delete or clean that hard drive all you want to. It doesn't get out of there once it's put in. And so we've got to be careful of that eye gate. The devil is tempting the Lord Jesus Christ like he does everybody else. Look, I'm going to show you something. Don't you want this? Wouldn't you like to have this? Wouldn't you like to sacrifice everything else that might be good just so you can have that? That's the manner of his presentation. Letter C, the misleading of his presentation. The misleading of his presentation. The Bible says here in Matthew that he showeth him all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of them. Last November, you know, we went to Congo to visit Matt and Adriana. We got to see some beautiful countryside. Some wild and exotic animals, and they weren't loose in Zanesville at the time. They were out where they belonged. And we got to go to Kenya and see that. We got to go to England and see Buckingham Palace and see all these different things. And it was wonderful. I've been to Hawaii several times, stationed there in the military. I've been to some places, and I've seen some beautiful places and some places I'd like to go back and visit again. I'm living where I want to live. I know that. But I've seen some places I wouldn't mind go seeing again. There's some beautiful places. And what the devil did to the Lord is he took him and showed him the glory of all these places. But you know, even when I was in Hawaii and I'd go through the Pali Lookout, the big pass, the road goes through the mountain up there and you go down to Waikiki and Honolulu and all that. Did you know that in Hawaii there are places that aren't tourist places? They're slums. There's Kalihi. There's places back there where people live that are not the glamour and the style of Honolulu and Waikiki and the tourism industry and all that. There's people on the leeward or the windward side of the island that don't have all that stuff. But that's not what the devil showed the Lord. Over in Congo, there's people, we told you before, we went to the zoo to see the zoo. And we had to go back. It was an adventure. We had to go back through this long trail. We ended up having to get out and push the vehicle through the water. We didn't know there was going to be a swamp on the way back there. And so my pants are rolled up to the knees and pushing this vehicle. We get back to the zoo and it's dilapidated and it's falling apart. And there's some monkeys over here and some pheasants over there and a crocodile down here in a cage in the river. And then we walk back into this place and here's these big cement on two sides, like you're at a zoo here in Columbus or anywhere else. On both sides are big cages. They're big cement cages with bars on the windows, and people are living in them. The zoo's shut down, the animals aren't there anymore, and people are renting those rooms for their houses. And we go to one, and here's a monkey kept in here, and we go to the one next to it, and a family's living in it, in the zoo. See, the Lord shows you the positive things, or the devil shows you the positive things, not the negative things. And the misleading in his presentation is simply this. He didn't show him the gore. He didn't show him the guile. He didn't show him the governments of the world. He showed him the glory of the kingdoms of this world. Now, don't we know that? You drive down the road and you see the billboard and somebody's drinking red velvet, black velvet, I don't know whatever color that velvet is. Red velvet, black velvet, whatever. They're drinking that and the lady next to it's got a real nightgown on and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, oh, this is the life if you drink it. You know what they don't show? They don't show the guy in the gutter. They don't show the poverty in many of the homes. They don't show wives and children that are being neglected. The cigarette commercials, you know, Newport, and they're all, you know, they're in West Virginia going down the whitewater rafting or something like that. They don't show lung cancer. They don't show emphysema. See, that's the devil's tactics. He shows the good things, but not the bad. And oh, how gullible mankind can be. That's the misleading in his presentation. Be aware of it. The picture is never what the devil paints. He always makes it. Many a man has left his wife or some other woman thinking, well, the grass is always greener on the other side. Only to find out it doesn't work that way. And they say, the devil paints that picture. And through the eye gate, he tempts in all these different areas. The misleading of the presentation. So he's seen the place. He gets him where he wants him. The presentation, he puts the bait down. Now it's time to yank on the line. Now it's time to set that hook. And number three, we find the promise. After the place and after the presentation, now the promise. It's in Matthew, but I like the way it's worded in Luke. In Luke chapter 4 and verse number 6. It says, all this power. Matthew says, all these things will I give thee. All the kingdoms, all these things will I give thee. And there's no contradiction there. But Luke says it this way, all this power will I give thee. Again, we say, well, did the devil have the power to do that? In Luke chapter 4 and verse number 6, the devil said, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. He's a liar. He could have been lying. Or it could be because he's the prince of the world, he had the power to do it. But now the temptation's been given. The right place, the right presentation, the right promise. Now it's time to respond. It's sink or swim. It's take the bait or swim past it. And we come to letter B, of course, when we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like we know the end of the story before we get there. He's not going to take the bait. And we find the triumph over the temptation. The triumph over the temptation. The devil, again, is beaten by the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, the separation. This is the devil's last chance. He is about to be evicted from that wilderness setting where the three temptations are taking place. The separation is this way. It's in the statement, letter A. The separation is in the statement where Jesus says, get thee hence, Satan. Get thee hence. You know, there's nothing wrong with you talking to the devil when you know he's around. It is written to Martin Luther that when he was a monk and he was in his little quiet cell there in the monastery and he was writing letters, he had his inkwell there. And of course, back in those days, they had that feather pen that they dipped in the inkwell. And it said that Luther in that place felt so strongly the presence of Satan and his temptation, he took the inkwell and he threw it at the devil, believing the devil was right there in the room with him. And he'd say, well, he's psychotic or something like that. Maybe he was just as close to God as he could see the devil's presence there. And it said, if you go to Germany and go to that monastery, it said that they'll take you to that room and show you the ink splotch on the wall. Of course, many people say that's a farce, that it's not really there. I don't know if it is or not. But the story is real. That Martin Luther felt the devil's presence that powerfully. And so we find the separation, the statement Jesus says to the devil. He said, get thee hence. There's no toleration on the Lord's part for Satan or for sin. No toleration. So that's the opposite of this world. Be tolerant. Be tolerant. There's no toleration for Satan. There's no toleration for sin. If you want to talk about toleration on other things, that's different. But not for Satan and not for sin. And the devil was firm in saying, get thee hence. He was forceful. He's commanding, get away from me. So the statement, get thee hence. Then letter B. And here's the wind coming out of the sails. The season. The season. In Matthew chapter 4 says, in verse 10, the Bible says, and the devil leaveth him. After this third temptation, three tries, three avenues of attack. And the Lord says, it is written, it is written, it is written. The Bible says the devil leaveth him. But Luke chapter 4 verse 13 tells us at the end of this, he left him for a season. The devil doesn't give up. He's going to be back. He's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. You can defeat him three times. He's not going to run and hide. There is nobody in this room he is afraid of. He wasn't afraid of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't afraid to attack the Son of God. He wasn't afraid to rebel in heaven near the throne of God. You think you and I are going to scare him? You think we're going to take him on? You better be careful. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I don't know anybody here that would take on the roaring lion. You'd be calling Jack Hanna and having him come over with the Columbus Zoo people and their dart guns and putting that thing out of its misery. You don't take on a roaring lion by yourself one-on-one. One of the nice things about a church congregation is you gather together and you got a little more strength in your fight. You've got an army of saints behind you. That's the purpose of the church. But we want to be careful in thinking we can take on the devil. And so we find that the devil leaveth him. Ominous words of warning. For a season, the devil will be back. Don't ever get the victory and get too high up on the mountain, because the devil's hiding around the next rock. He's around the next bend. He's still there. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy the victory, but enjoying it, remember, there's another day and another trial that's coming. So we see the separation. Get thee hence. Number two, the scripture. The scripture, again, the devil was defeated by the Lord saying, it is written. In Matthew chapter 4, and verse number 10, then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Jesus knew the scriptures. Now I know you're not amazed at that. He was the writer of the scriptures. He's the giver of the scriptures. But don't think you don't need Deuteronomy. Don't think you don't need Psalms. That's where this battle's been going on. Remember, even the devil quoted Psalms we saw last Sunday. You need to know your Bible. You need to be in the Bible. If you don't, you're going to fall prey to the devil. Or if not him, Joel Osteen. Or Rick Warren. Or one of these other guys that's good at quoting scripture and leaving key things out of it. You need to be aware and be ready and be guarded. And he says, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He answered him with scripture. Isn't it nice to know that the scriptures of Deuteronomy were applicable to Jesus Christ almost 2,000 years later? I mean, think about that. Deuteronomy was written long before Jesus came, and yet when he was fighting the devil in his lifetime, he was quoting something written by Moses long, long time ago. Somebody would say, oh, that old Deuteronomy, that was outdated by the time Jesus was here. He used it as a weapon to fight the devil. Now here we are 2,000 years past the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Deuteronomy is just as powerful now as it was when it was written, and when Jesus quoted it 2,000 years ago, it's still as strong right now in 2000 A.D., Use the word of God to fight the devil. It's the only thing that's going to defeat him. It's the only thing that's going to beat him. The scripture, for it is written. Number three, the solace. The solace, S-O-L-A-C-E. That means the comforting. The solace, the encouragement, the comforting. Verse number 11 in Matthew chapter 4 says, and the angels came and ministered unto him. After the spiritual battle. After the spiritual battle, the Lord Jesus Christ was surrounded by comforters. Folks, you and I are going through spiritual battles in this life right now. You know what we need to be to one another? We need to be that band of comforters, that band of encouragement, praying for one another, caring for one another, loving one another, helping one another. You know, they've often said that Christians are the only ones that shoot their wounded. And too many times when somebody gets tripped up by the devil or tempted by the devil and they do something, the church jumps all over them and all that. The first thing we're to do is to reach out with hands of love and comfort. Try to restore such an one, the Bible says. And here, after the Lord himself took on the devil, the angels came and comforted him. Solace had to be given after the battle. We talk again about our military folks coming back from Afghanistan, Iran, different places, and the military knows the pattern. They need some R&R. They need to get away from that battlefront mentality. They need to get back where they get adapted back into the place where they're safe. And they're not walking the wall every night. And the enemy's not looking for them constantly. They need that R&R. That's what we need after the spiritual battle. We need a little art. We need some guys, some people to get around us and encourage us. The solace. And then lastly, number four, the strength. The strength. And Jesus returned, Luke 4:14 says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. In the power. If you get a chance, go back to Luke chapter 4. You know what you find in Luke chapter 4, verse number 1? And Jesus being full of the Spirit. Then he gets tempted three times. You know what it says? And Jesus in the power of the Spirit. You want to show me you got the power of the Spirit? Don't speak in some tongue I can't understand. Don't roll around on the floor and foam at the mouth. Don't hang from the chandeliers and swing around. You want to show me you've got the power of the Spirit? Or you're full of the Spirit? Show me the power of the Spirit. Show me you overcoming temptation. Show me you defeating the devil in your life and living a clean and holy life. That shows a lot more than any psychedelic thing is going to do. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, had to go through temptation to be full of the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? That means the devil's temptations make us stronger. The devil's temptations and us not yielding make us stronger. You say, why is God allowing this to happen? To make you stronger. Why is God doing this? To allow you to grow stronger. He doesn't want you to be weak. He doesn't want you to be weak-kneed. He wants you and I to be stronger Christians. So he allows, as in Job's life, he allows the gate to be lifted and the devil to sneak under with temptation. The common phrase is, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And there's a spiritual truth to that. The devil allows us to go through temptation because it draws us closer to him and makes us stronger in our life. Jesus defeated the devil all three times, but he's only gone for a season. He'll be back. But the Lord has given us the pattern of how to defeat him. Let's bow our heads this morning in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the Word of God and how it gives us everything we need.